All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12. 1 Kings, chapter 12. We're going to read the first five verses to begin with. Looking at a portrait tonight, we're going to look at Rehoboam this evening. And it's a portrait of real leadership. But the portrait of leadership that I want to see is not the one that Rehoboam shows. He takes some bad counsel, and he's not the leader that he should be. Really, what the portrait I want to see of leadership is the portrait that he chooses not to be. And so we'll see that tonight. But let's start in 1 Kings chapter 12, and verse 1. It says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed." And we'll stop there for the moment. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for the way that you guide us through your word, and we pray that you'd help us tonight as we look at this idea of real leadership and what it means to lead, that you would show us clearly what you'd have for us to do, help us to understand it, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Have you ever watched someone make a really obvious bad choice, and then you go, well, you see the results, and you go, well, what do you expect to happen from that? I remember one time growing up, I don't remember how old I was, but we were driving in the car. We were going down Route 85, kind of going up that hill toward the mall. And I remember I had a baseball hat. And I don't know if it was mine or where I got this hat. I don't remember anything about that. But I remembered thinking, you know what I want to do? I want to roll the window down and hold the hat out the window. Don't know why, but so I did it. Right? I was on the left side of the car, so I roll the window down, I hold the hat out the window, and immediately the wind takes it, and I lost my hat. I don't remember if we turned around to go back and get it, but I look at that and go, what did I expect was going to happen? What did I really think was going to happen when I shoved that hat out the window? I have no idea what went through my young brain at that time, but look back and go, well, I mean, you could have figured what was going to happen when you made that decision. And I look at this story in 1 Kings chapter 12, and Rehoboam has a decision to make. And he comes down to this moment, and he has to make this decision. And what the decision that we see Rehoboam make in the rest of that chapter, you look at it and go, what did you think was going to happen when you made that very obviously bad choice? But let's get to the context that leads into that decision. Rehoboam is next in line for the throne after Solomon. He's Solomon's son. So as it goes, right, as the line of the king would go, there was David and then his son Solomon, and now the throne is going to pass to Solomon's son Rehoboam. And so as this is happening, as Solomon has died and now the throne's going to go to Rehoboam, Jeroboam, who's this other individual that we're not going to take time to look at this evening, but he is also this leader in Israel, sort of, but he's a leader in exile. And he comes back, and he gets the congregation of Israel together in verse 3, and they come to Rehoboam. So Jeroboam and all of Israel come to Rehoboam, and they say, listen, your father Solomon, he put a heavy burden upon us, and we're asking that you just make that lighter. And I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 5. And if we go back to 1 Kings chapter 5, this is the burden that Solomon had placed upon them. Solomon, in preparing to embark on a very large building project, which included the temple and like a palace and some other buildings and cities and like the expansion of Jerusalem, he was doing a lot of building. He put a levy upon Israel. So in 1 Kings 5 and verse 13, it says, "And King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home, and Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 80,000 that bare burdens, and 80,000 hewers in the mountains. beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300, which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squares, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. So he raises this group of men, forced labor. He says, you guys are going to have to do this. And so it's 30,000 men. They would work for a month, get 2 months off, and then they're back laboring again in building this this temple. And if you look again, and it mentions it again in chapter 9, 1 Kings chapter 9, in verse 15, where it says, and this is the reason of the levy which King Solomon raised, for to build the house of the Lord and his own house, and Millo and the wall of Jerusalem and Hazor and Megiddo and Gezer. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burnt it with fire and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city, and gave it for a present unto his daughter Solomon's wife. And Solomon built Gezer and Beth-horon, the nether, and Baalath and Tadmor in the wilderness and the land. And it just goes on and talks about like all the buildings that he did. But he did that with these young men, right? And these men of Israel that he said, you have to come and work for this. And so now in 1 Kings chapter 12, when they're having this changeover to Solomon or to Rehoboam being the new king, they come to him and say, listen, this was hard on us to have these men away from their families and doing this work for you and building all of these things. It was a great burden upon us as a nation. And they come to him and say, can you just make that lighter? Can you be kind and compassionate to us? And they talk about how heavy this was. There's some commentators that also say that maybe there was a financial tax as well. The Bible doesn't specify. Maybe there was that as well to help fund all of this building. But they look at Rehoboam and say, can you just be considerate and kind and help us out? And Rehoboam says, all right, depart for 3 days, then come again to me and I'll give you an answer. So he says, let me think about this for 3 days. So Rehoboam has 3 days to decide what sort of leader he is going to be. Right at the very offset of this, of his reign, he has this choice to make. What sort of leader is he going to be? And when we think about ourselves and the roles that God has given us to play, what sort of leaders are we going to be? And we think about where God has placed us and the roles he's put us in as I think about being a husband, and I think about being a father, think about like the workplace that you're in, even just having people look up to you and looking to you at maybe as a bit older for an example, we can all find ways that God has given us some sort of leadership role. And what sort of leader are we going to be in that position? Even now, if you're not in a leadership role, God is preparing you for one. Somewhere down the line, God is going to have you in that position. And I think it needs to be said that you can have a role and a position without being a leader. You can have a title and not actually be a real leader. You can be a dad without being a leader of your family. You can be a husband without leading your wife. You can be a boss without leading the people that are under you. You can have people look up to you and not be a leader to them. And just because you have a title doesn't mean we're actually leading. We can't confuse the two. And so in the roles that God has given us, are we actually being the leader that we're supposed to be? And Rehoboam is confronted with this decision. How is he going to act in this position that God has placed him in? So Rehoboam has this decision to make. What he does is he gets some counsel, which is a good idea. So in verse 6, look in verse 6. King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, here's what they counseled him to say, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins, and now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. So the king gets, Rehoboam gets these two counsels from these two different groups. The people come back to him, and in verse 13, the king answered the people roughly, forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people. And he makes this decision, and we look at it and go, what did he think was going to happen? Right? And the people forsake him after this, and they go back, and the kingdom is divided. Right? The kingdom splits into two because of his response. And all of a sudden, he is a king with half a kingdom, and the people choose not to follow him. And we go, what did he think was going to happen when he made this decision? When he looked at him, was like, you wanted me to be nicer to you? And he was like, going to do the opposite. I'm going to be meaner and more unkind to you and harsher to you. We look and go, I don't understand the reasoning behind this. Maybe it was him wanting to have a show of strength at the beginning of his reign. Maybe it's just a misguided attempt to be even better than his father. I don't know. It doesn't give the reasoning behind it. But it was the wrong choice to make. It was not how he should have treated these people. But Rehoboam has these two sets of counselors that are giving him very opposite decisions, right? Opposite solutions to this decision that he has to make. And I think we're the same way. Because we, on the one hand, we have what the Word of God says about how to be a leader. And we have the Holy Spirit of God that is speaking to our hearts about how we should act. And then we have our flesh that often wants to act the other way in our pride and in like maybe a show of strength. And we have parts or segments of the world that are all about being unkind to the people below you in order to prop yourself up and make yourself look like a real strong person. And so they're fine with being unkind because the people below you don't matter. And there is these two sets of counsel that we have, and we have to make a decision who we're going to listen to. Jeroboam makes the decision to forsake the good counsel from the old men and take the counsel of these young men, and to look at the people that God had placed under him and beat them into submission and teach them a lesson about wanting things to be easier. And I reading through this, it reminded me of Pharaoh. You know, back when Israel was down in Egypt in captivity, and Moses for the first time comes to Pharaoh and talks to him about letting the people go so that they can worship the Lord. And Pharaoh goes, you want to not work? He goes, well, I'm going to make it even harder on you. And it's like that same philosophy that Rehoboam is heeding and following. That's not real leadership. The portrait that I want to see of real leadership is what the older men counsel him to do. And I want us to spend our time looking at verse 7, what Rehoboam should have chosen. And here's the advice that they give that is a portrait of what real leadership is. They told him, you need to be a servant unto the people this day. If you do that, they will serve you. And he says, they said, what you need to do is answer them and speak good words to them. And if you do that, then they will be thy servants forever. They basically tell him two things. They say, number one, serve the people. Work toward their benefit, toward their good. You take care of the people that are under you. Don't enrich yourself at their expense. You work toward their good, blessing them and benefiting the people under them. You serve them, and in return, they'll follow you and they'll serve you. He tells them that. They tell him that. And then the second thing that they tell him is, answer them and speak good words to them, right? Because they came and they asked them a question about being nicer to them and lighter and easier on them. And they say, when you answer them, you speak good words to them. Tell them that you care about them. Tell them that you have a kind heart toward them. Tell them that you love them, right? Communicate this to the people that are underneath you. Tell them how important they are to you. Communicate this. Answer them and say good things unto them. And if you do that, they'll follow you and they will serve you. And this is the clear teaching of Scripture on what it means to really be a leader. And so I want to put it this way tonight. Leaders serve and servants lead, right? Leaders serve and servants lead. This is what Scripture consistently teaches about real leadership. That husbands who are real leaders, they serve their wives. And dads that are real leaders, they serve their families. Leaders serve and servants lead. And there are parts of society that do not teach this and that counsel you to go the other way. But what I want to see tonight, and we're going to go with me to Matthew chapter 20. This is what Jesus tells us to do. This is what Jesus lays out as what leadership really is. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. So then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. I always read this and go, they had to be so embarrassed. I'm like, Mom, stop. But Jesus answered, verse 22, and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left, to have these positions of authority, is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. So the rest of the disciples, they get upset at the two for their mom interfering and trying to get them ahead in Jesus' favor and this position of authority. But then in verse 25, Jesus is like, I'm going to teach you about what it is to really be in a position of leadership. And so Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. He says, this is what the world says, that you need to exercise that dominion and that authority. You rule with an iron fist, and you really make the people under you submit. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. He says, you're not going to do that. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what Jesus told them. He said, this is what it means to be a leader. It's not what the world is showing you and what the world is teaching you. He says to be a leader is to be a servant. Because leaders serve. He says, that's what it is. Whosoever is going to be great, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. He says, to actually lead the people under you, you have to serve. It's just what it is. He says, this is how it is going to work. And then he said, you know why? Because verse 20, this is what I'm doing. He says, this is how I'm showing you this. Not just by what I say, but how I'm living my life. He says, because the Son of Man, who is your leader, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's not what we find in the world, and that's many times not what our flesh wants to do. We want the people under us to minister to us, but Jesus said, no, it goes the other way. He says, you minister to them. You serve them. You take care of them. You meet their needs. You give your life to supply for them. That's what leadership is. Leadership isn't just about what we do in front of the people that we're leading. It's what we do with them. It's what we do among them. It's what we do for them. And when the question of leadership arose, Jesus said, this is how you lead, by serving, by giving yourself. And if you want to, not only that though, he said, because what I see in verse 27 and verse 26, he says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. He's looking at guys who are looking ahead toward like a leadership role and a leadership position. And he says, if you want to be that, How you get there, how you get into leadership, is by being a servant, right? Because leaders serve and servants lead. He says the path to leadership is really through serving, and you start right now as a servant. And in that role, you will become a leader, right? Because it's the people that willingly and voluntarily put themselves in positions of service for others. Those are the people that we look to for leadership, right? That we look to help and that we look to get things done. Those are the people that we end up looking to for leadership. It's not the people that aren't involved, that are, you know, sitting on the sideline waiting for people to serve them that we look to for leadership. It's the people that are busy. It's the people that are out there just serving and doing things for other people. That when we need leadership, those are the people that we turn to. We look to the servants for leadership. Because leaders serve and servants are the ones who will lead. And this is what Jesus is telling them. He says, just be the people that minister to other people and they will look to you for leadership when the time comes. Leaders serve and servants lead. It's not positions and titles that are leadership. You can get a position a lot of different ways, but that doesn't automatically make you a leader. You can have a title, but it doesn't mean that you are leading the people that are under you. And Rehoboam found that out. He had the title of king. He was the king of all Israel. And he decided to make the people serve him. He was going to make them submit. He was going to show them who was boss. And he ends up not leading the vast majority of his kingdom. And all of a sudden it splits. And 10 of the tribes go away and he's left with 2 tribes in the south of Israel. His refusal to serve the people meant that Rehoboam was not leading them. And they said, well, we're not going to follow you. And he split the kingdom. Leaders serve and servants lead. And service, it's a great plan for anybody. If you're looking for a plan to follow, just do that plan, right? Just be a servant. It's great for anybody, whatever your role might be. But when we find ourselves in leadership roles, we need to do it and occupy that role as a servant. We can't think that being in a position of leadership exempts us from service, that everybody else has to, but not us because of where we are in the title that we have. So tonight we look around at the people that God has put close to us and we say, well, I need to serve them. And we look at the positions God has put us in and the task that God has given us of leading the people that God has put under us. And we do that by serving. And if we're in a position of leadership, we've got to do the work of serving. We've got to do the dirty work. Get our hands dirty and just serve. Serve alongside the people that are under us. Help them get their stuff done. Help them to do the work that they are doing. That's what it means to lead. That's when people follow, is when they see the servant's heart that their leader possesses. That's who the people follow. And God has put us in positions, different positions of leadership, whether it comes with a title or it's just that people look up to you and that people see your example. God says, this is what real leadership is. It's not trying to force them to do what you want them to do all the time. It's serving, because leaders serve and servants lead. Let's be a portrait of real leadership, and God will use us. God uses servants. And this is the example that Jesus Christ gave to us, because he came and he took upon him the form of a servant. The greatest leader took upon him the form of a servant, and he performed the greatest act of service and dying on the cross for us. And we follow his leadership. Let's be a leader like Jesus Christ was. All right, let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the way that you teach us. And Lord, you've put us in positions where people look up to us and people are following us. Help us to be the leaders that you desire us to be. Help us to be real leaders, not according to much of the world's definition. Help us to be leaders according to your definition. Lord, may we serve. Wherever we find ourselves, may we have an attitude of service where we just give ourselves for the people that you've put around us. Lord, may we follow your example. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.